This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Be part of the conversation at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And get us on social media at Barton Hahn on Twitter and Instagram. And this is why you listen to our show.
You want to tell the audience what my new nickname is?
You want to mute, please?
I wanted to tell him so much. I was going to tell him twice. I was going
to
tell him.
I was about to call you by your new nickname.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What's my new nickname? Tell everybody what my new nickname is.
What's up, Tree?
My new nickname is Tree, because guess what? I fall all the time and don't nobody hear nothing. Because everything I say comes to light.
It's crazy.
And everybody acts like they're hearing it for the first damn time, and I'm like the boy that cried wolf. Nobody hears what I'm saying until somebody else says it. So, okay, here we go.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. But the reason why you listen to our show, and I know we're new to a lot of people around the country, but we're trying to let you know that you don't want to miss a thing. Because yesterday, you and I talked about a situation brewing in Houston with the Texans. And really, at the epicenter, a guy named Jack Easterby. And as a result of that segment, and we like you and I both dove deep into it, I told you, Spidey senses were tingling. And we use the phrase where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yep.
And let's keep an eye on this, because you had a feeling like something is developing with that organization and it's going to become a problem. And sure enough, today comes the news from J.J. Watt via social media, and he let everybody know, because initially the report was the Texans were releasing him. J.J. Watt quickly, though, decided, no, I want you to hear from me.
Yeah.
I want it out. Let's take a listen to J.J. Watt.
I wanted to do this on video as opposed to putting out a statement or doing a press conference or anything like that, because I want you guys to hear it directly from me. I want to speak directly to you and the city of Houston so you can hear the words straight from my mouth. I have sat down with the McNair family, and I have asked them for my release. And we have mutually agreed to part ways at this time.
And there it is.
But why, oh why, would J.J. Watt, who represents the city of Houston like Drew Brees, represents the city of New Orleans, especially through the time of crisis, all the money he raised for hurricane relief. He's a lifer. He's a guy that's supposed to retire like Eli. He's supposed to retire. He still has a year under contract. Why would he, J.J. Watt, Mr. Houston himself, ask for a release from such a great organization?
Well, you know, it's funny. We have audio of J.J. Watt leaving the field at the end of the season with Deshaun Watson. And he had a very interesting thing that was caught on the microphones. Listen to this exchange.
Good job, brother. I'm sorry. We wasted one of your years. I'm sorry.
You should have 11 wins. It's your...
Now, if you didn't hear that, we wasted one of your years. He kept apologizing to Watson. I'm sorry. We wasted one of your years. J.J. Watt clearly knowing something was going wrong with that organization. And as we talked about yesterday, something strange is going on with that organization. How about this tweet from Jeff Darlington? We mentioned to you again about Jack Easterby and this guy that somehow rose to power from team chaplain to a culture coach. That's true. A character coach. And now he is executive vice president in charge of football operations. And yet has power that no one can understand in that organization. Jeff Darlington tweets, departures from Houston since Jack Easterby was hired in April of 2019. Brian Gain, the GM. DeAndre Hopkins, the wide receiver. Bill O'Brien, head coach. Amy Palchik, who is a very popular, well-known, well-respected head of public relations.
Award-winning.
Yes. The team president just last week, or earlier this week, Jamie Roots. He's been there for 20 years.
I can't take it no more.
And now, the team's captain, the face of the franchise, the heart and soul of the city of Houston, J.J. Watt. These are not just like people that come and go in an organization. These people that you mentioned had positions of power, influence, and all of them are gone. Why? of politics. It was a cultural decision. That's what mm-hmm. they talked about. Like this stuff doesn't make sense, but it all comes back to the same person. It's unbelievable, Bart. But for J.J. Watt and where he, like him making this decision today, it's not surprising, right? But that's a guy that you would think should finish his career as a Texan. Now, our own Adam Schefter, I'm trying to get the, there it is. Adam Schefter spoke with Cal McNair, the owner of the team. And McNair basically had a couple of things. It was mostly about J.J. Watt. Change is going to happen, he said. It's part of the NFL. It's inevitable, but not always easy. It's bittersweet. That's right. My word of today for J.J. We have gratitude for J.J. giving him plenty of time to pick his next destination is the right move. They want to do right by J.J. Watt because of all the good things he's done.
Oh, wow. That's so nice.
He went on to say even, like, you know, that it's bye for now, but not bye for good. My kids grew up with him. He played with them on the sidelines. One of my kids shares a birthday with him, Bart. Mom's a big fan of his. He just meant so much to all of us. This is doing right by him. It gives him time to pick his next step. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah,
and then just one more thing, Bart, and then I'll let you roll. On the criticism of Jack Easterby, which I'm glad Shefty asked. It's not the right time to talk about the front office. It's all about J.J. and honoring him.
Oh, wow.
Your thoughts.
So the president retires, says, you know what, this is crazy. I'm not dealing with this, right? You know, Deshaun Watson asks to be released, or he says he wants to be traded. He doesn't want to play for that organization again. You look at J.J. Watt. You know, they didn't decide to move on from J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt decided to move on from them because he's seen something to recognize that he understands. He talks about wasting time for Deshaun Watson in his career. Well, he's got to understand that he's almost
wasting
out of sand.
Time for him, too.
Yeah, he's almost out of sand in his time capsule. So he's saying, hey, I'm going to get out while the getting is good. But oddly enough, he's granted that wish. Now, I understand that J.J. Watt – better days are behind him, and Deshaun's may be in front of him. But if Deshaun is recognizing that, hey, this isn't the place that I signed up for, I'm going to be going through another rebuild, going here with a dysfunctional organization where I don't understand or know what the direction is one bit. No, I'm not going to sit around here and waste another year and another year and be Matthew Stafford and say, okay, I've suffered enough. I'm going to get ahead of it, and I'm going to take control of my narrative right now. It is something going on with that organization. He talks about, hey, gone for now, not bye forever, however he phrased it. Would you say that about the guy who was the face of the Texans before J.J. Watt was? Because before that, the most outstanding player that they had in their teams or their franchise's history was Andre Johnson. I don't see Andre Johnson floating around there. I don't see Andre Johnson being invited back. I don't think Andre Johnson wants to go back. So the fact that he thinks that he's saying goodbye to J.J. Watt and it's going to be some type of mass family reunion, welcome home, you know, put you up in the Raptors type of thing, I think is a little premature right now because I don't know if this thing is, you know, going to be repairable for some of the players that they've, you know, alienated and ostracized. And it's going to be crazy, man. I think the NFL needs to step in and figure something out because this is bad for business. You know, I know if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm trying to talk to the PA and trying to tell them not my side about why I want to get, because this thing's going to get nasty. And they're going to figure out whether Deshaun.
I think we're already there, Bart, when it comes to the nasty part of things. And by the way, this is Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Let's take it a step further because you mentioned Deshaun Watson. And let's move into now that look. Where's J.J. Watt going from here, Bart? I'm going with the Steelers. Join his brothers and just go ahead and take that next step. Other people might think Green Bay. That's not really the story today. The story now moves on. So Sean Salisbury, who does radio now in Houston, used to obviously be an analyst at ESPN, he talked about the Texans and now how they've officially become the most dysfunctional franchise. Take a listen to this.
Think about the two most powerful people in this organization, the owner, Cal McNair, and Jack Easterby. And neither one of them have any football business savvy, and neither one of them have any football business when it comes to X's and O's. And they're running an organization. And it's obvious that while those guys you named on the way out the building, a couple of them had a knife in their back. I've never seen a situation where a guy whose resume in Jack Easterby can control the owner's ear more than anybody I've ever seen. It is this dysfunction on Green. That's saying a lot considering the sports teams we have. But the dysfunction isn't, well, bad X's and O's. We know that. But you think about this. If this franchise was not protected by the NFL shield, or they did not have that the backing of the NFL, or the fact that the NFL always makes money, this business would be boarded up and closed down.
Think about that for a minute. Huh. Think about, like, if you're Daniel Snyder, if you're Jimmy Haslam, if you're even Woody Johnson, are you not like, yeah, we're out of it. We're out of that mess now, right? Nobody can really look at us anymore. Shad Khan, like all these different owners that have taken, you know, on a lot of criticism in the NFL. Here's a the McNair situation now becomes one that is just unbelievable. And even what Shefty asking about Easterby, you would think, you see, that's the point. You would think that as all this is happening and it's all pointing to the same guy, and everybody keeps, like, Watson himself said, we need to improve the culture of our team. That's that guy's job. And it's gotten worse, not better. You would think that anyone that can function and run a company would say, well, let's see. Here's the common denominator. So let me eliminate that common denominator, and would then everything get better? Would everybody be happy? Instead, he's like, well, this is not the time to talk about that. Now let's move into the Watson stuff. Because Salisbury also goes on to say, and this is with Greeny, that he doesn't blame Deshaun Watson for wanting out. Listen to this.
There is no bigger asset in the league the next decade. You're right. Impeccable human, impeccable character. I don't blame him. And Greeny, I rarely say this. If I was Deshaun Watson, I'd want out too. Because even with him, I don't know how he fixes this. And I don't know if he's going to get out. Now, I think you'd be insane to trade him. But with this that's happening, do you really trust that the front office still isn't entertaining those offers as they continue to tear down a franchise? Deshaun Watson should stand firm and force their hand, because you are going to waste one of the best assets in the league's career. And when you lose that trust, it's hard to get trust. It's easy to lose it, and it's even harder to get back. Deshaun Watson, this city will, their head will explode if Deshaun Watson isn't on the Texans.
Now, I'm going to say this, Barton. Now, I want your take on this. I have a way out for Deshaun Watson, because that is also something else that was said to Adam Schefter by McNair. He said there's a lot of misinformation out there. I'll leave it at that. Today we want to focus on JJ. Deshaun is our quarterback. He's a Texan, and we expect him to remain a Texan, and we'll leave it at that. So they're dug in. They're not trading him. They keep saying it. All the reports say when teams call, they say we're not trading him. So, Bart, when you look at now how and why all these other people have left the organization, there's only one way out for Deshaun Watson. He has to be what he's never wanted to be, what he's never represented, he needs to represent. He needs to now be the guy that is bad for your culture. He needs to be a bad guy doing bad things like James Harden did to get out of Houston, out of the Rockets. He needs to just go that route, go completely off script, be the guy that he's never wanted to be, unfortunately, for them to go, okay, well, he's bad for our culture. We want to move on from him. Can he do that? Is that the only way out for him, Bart?
I mean, I think it is, because you try to go to them, you try to work through your representation and say, you know what, I know you guys just paid me, I can't do it. I mean, I think this relationship can't be saved, and you going out and hiring an African-American coach, you know, doesn't fix it. You going out and hiring your general manager doesn't fix it. You know, you going out and maybe making some roster moves doesn't fix it. I don't want to be here. The trust is lost, you know what I mean, and the thrill is gone. I want out. And if he's going to get out, he's going to have to go full Tropic Thunder. Like I always say, he's going to have to make sure that he becomes everything that they hate. And listen, it's not an indication. I think people who know Deshaun Watson know who he is at the core. But he needs to say, you know what, if I'm not going to get out, then I'm going to make you guys regret every day that I show up. Because I'm not going to go to meetings. I'm going to show up.
Can he do that, though? Such a character guy, a team leader, somebody everybody loves, now has to become the complete opposite of that.
Well,
he has to become the biggest jerk in the room, for lack of a better word, would fit better here.
Well, how important is it to him, right? How bad does he want out? Is he willing to be fined a couple of dollars? Yeah, because he'll recoup anything that he loses, because everybody knows at the core what an outstanding young man he is. But listen, he feels like he's been held hostage. And he's saying, you know what, I'm done. I was done when y'all got rid of Hopkins and didn't give me, you know, any respect to call me and say, hey, these are the moves that we're making. I was done when you decided to hire your general manager and head coach and tell me that I had some input and you guys didn't even consider anything that I decided to say. Hell, you didn't even decide or consider the things that the search firm that y'all spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on suggested the candidate. Right, a search firm. Only to round up. Only to round up. I'll go by and do background checks on everybody, only for you to hire who you wanted to hire anyway, but I'll take your $100,000. Thank you very much. Right? So it's like, listen, I'm out, man, and I don't know what to do. We saw Jalen Ramsey. Nobody thought that he was going to get out. He got out. We saw, you know, Yannick Ngakoue. You know, nobody said he was going to get out. He got out.
Wasn't Ngakoue the one that went to Twitter he went at
the owner's son, right?
Yeah.
And came after him. We saw Jamal Adams that everybody said, hey, we're going to keep him. He went at the owner.
He went at
the head coach. You got to burn the bridge. Like, you know what? It's no coming back from this, right? And that's the only way that he can get it.
Le'Veon Bell sat out. Just didn't play.
A whole year.
Just didn't play.
Right? But Deshaun making too much money to sit out and not get that money. So, Deshaun, I say, hey, show up to practice and say my hamstring hurt. They can't tell you how bad your hamstring hurt. Do what you got to do to get out of there, brother. Because I tell you what, these are two stubborn people, right? And I think when you ask yourself, what does Kyle McNair see when he looks at Easterby? He sees himself. He sees an outsider all alone, not qualified, and he's insecure. So he's saying, hey, let me empower and embolden somebody that can't see through me as an owner, knowing that I don't know what the hell I'm doing because I can see through him. Two peas in a pod, two guys that don't know anything, that's ahead of their skis, figuring out and trying to run an organization. And I think that's why he got rid of all the football guys, because they're not going to take any of their suggestions seriously.
What do you do at this point? I mean, that's the only way out. I just don't see it any other way. Now, a lot of people believe that he's going to end up – like, Salisbury believes he's staying there, that they're not going to trade him. So week one of this coming season in 2021, he will be the quarterback. Whether or not he's playing is a different story. But he will be the quarterback, which means they have an opportunity, if they wanted to get the number 2 overall pick in the draft for him, amongst other things. They could get the number 3 overall pick in the draft. There's a lot they can get for him right now. But as we know, it also can destroy a franchise. But you know what? That's happening already. Think about what a disgruntled star who is not a bad, like, who is not, is a bad. It's one thing if you're a bad guy and you're a disgruntled star. It's another thing if everybody absolutely loves you and you're a leader and you're disgruntled. That becomes a you problem for the franchise. So you have that and you're going to have to deal with that. The only way out is for him to really turn this thing ugly. He has not said a word publicly, Bart, but if you were advising him right now, and it sounded like you were just trying to talk to him just a minute ago when you said what you said about get out, but if you had that moment where you could have a chat with him, what would you say to him? What would you say that, like, not necessarily get out of there. Okay, we all know you need to go. If you're not happy there, get out. What should he do? I think he's got to say something. I think he has to publicly come out and say, I am not going to play. They'll have to trade me. That's how strongly I feel about this. He has to say something publicly at this point, doesn't he?
He has to name names. He has to explain why he doesn't want to be there. He has to name Easterby. He has to name Kyle McNair. You know, he has to go out and go full scorched earth about the things that he is displeased with and things that he won't stand for, tolerate, and really express to them verbally about how outraged he is and how it's a you know, better chance than hell freezing over. You know what I'm saying? Knowing that, you know, he's the reason, a man of the cloth. You got to hit him with that one. It's a chance of hell freezing over before he takes another snap for the Houston Texans.
And, did he have to do sit-ups in the driveway? Do we need him, like, moment like that, maybe?
You know what I'm saying? Hey, we've seen that too, right?
You said full Tropic Thunder. I kind of feel like that's the way it's got to go. By the way, I really want to annoy you right now, because you know what else Salisbury said while he was on with Greeny?
What?
He said that if you put Deshaun Watson on the Chiefs instead of Mahomes, they still would be in the Super Bowl. I'm going to duck and run for cover.
Here's that tree falling again.
There's that tree. That's why your nickname is Tree.
Swagger Jack.
You say things, but if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's there to hear it, did it really happen?
Yeah.
But now that Salisbury said it and Greeny heard it and Greeny got very fired up because he agreed with him.
He got fired up.
There's the new hot take.
Greeny, I think I said that on your own damn show. I think I said that on your show, Greeny.
Did you?
Or
did
you say I think I did. I don't know.
Everybody attacked you. But Salisbury said it, so that must be true.
But 3 days later, then
all right, Tree.
Right.
All right, Chi. We're going to.
Jeez.
But you know what, though? Besides some of those owners I mentioned, Snyder and Johnson and Khan and Haslam and all the, like, besides them kind of feeling like, thank God that McNair showed up to take over dysfunction. You know who else is kind of like happy today? Chris Doyle and Urban Meyer.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yo, that's a whole
story that
crap show
is right now getting overshadowed, but yeah, we're not going to let that happen. We'll discuss what's going on in Jacksonville that should get your attention and the players on that team, their attention, as well as Trevor Lawrence has his pro day, and Jacksonville front and center is watching. The NBA, that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. The NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tomorrow as Durant and the Nets. Durant back, is he? Visit Steph Curry and the Warriors, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. So 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number for your reaction to J.J. Watt leaving, what it means for Deshaun Watson, what it means for the Texans, what the league should do about it, all that certainly and more at Barton Hahn on Twitter and Instagram as well. And it is Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN+.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Hahn.
Well done. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, ESPN app, is Matt Speaker. And we will continue to keep an eye on what's going on in Houston with the Texans and the fallout now of yet another player, this time J.J. Watt, wanting out. And that's how he put it. Asked for his release and was granted it. And so more exodus happening with the Texans. We'll have Sarah Barsham's going to join us at 1 o'clock, and she covers the team for us at ESPN, and we'll have a lot more information, including a conversation that she also will have with McNair, and see how much more background we can get on it. So we'll get back into that at 1 o'clock. But Bart, there's another story that was happening today that I felt like now gets completely overshadowed and pushed down, but we should not let it completely disappear. So Trevor Lawrence having his pro day today at Clemson, and of course the Jacksonville Jaguars are the team with the number one pick, and it's almost a given that they're taking him. But that's not the story. The story involves some of the hirings that were announced by Jacksonville, I believe it was yesterday, and Urban Meyer has to defend one of them, and that is Chris Doyle, who is the former strength coach at the University of Iowa, who had been accused of making racist remarks and belittling and bullying his players there, ended up losing his job, of course. He was the highest paid, $800,000 he made as the strength coach. And he was still able to collect his money while he was put on, I guess, leave, until he got another job, and he has gotten one. So Urban Meyer, who is well known over the last 15 years for giving a lot of second chances to people, and some of the time that has come back to haunt him. Well, he's being criticized for this hire, and said, and I think this was either today or yesterday, I don't remember, where he had to defend the hiring of Chris Doyle. Take a listen.
I've known Chris for close to 20 years. Our relationship goes back to when I was at Utah, and he was the number one strength coach, and really he was doing sports performance before sports performance became a high priority in college sports. And so I've known him, I've studied him. We've had a relationship. I vetted him thoroughly along with our general manager and owner. Feel great about the hire, about his expertise at that position. So we vetted him thoroughly, and sports performance is going to be a high, high priority, as it really in the last probably, 10 years, really certainly at Ohio State, that became, if not the most important. You guys know my relationship with Coach Marotti at Ohio State, but this whole from strength, training room, physical therapy, sports psychology, nutrition, that all falls under the sports performance team umbrella. And I wanted to get the best of the best.
Get the best. And that part's very important, as we know.
Oh, Tom Shaw.
Well.
Oh, ARI in Arizona. Oh, no, this guy's the best. Oh, okay. I got
that's what he's saying. Now, again,
that's the opinion.
Speaking of Ohio State, you do remember that there was also an issue at Ohio State when he hired Zach Smith to be an assistant coach, who also had a record, and he gave him a second chance. And Ohio State has no idea about this guy's background. And how did that end up working out? Google it. But there was, of course, a follow-up question to Urban Meyer of, did you have any reservations about bringing in Chris Doyle?
I vet everyone on our staff, and like I said, the relationship goes back close to 20 years, and a lot of hard questions asked, a lot of vetting involved, and with all our staff. But we did a very good job vetting that one.
Let's see. At Spartan Han ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. So what Urban Meyer is basically saying here is that he personally knows this person, and so that means, of course, Bart, that he should be held accountable if there are any issues going forward here. But if you're a player on Jacksonville and you know this guy's background, how are you feeling right now?
I mean, forget if I'm a player, how about the coaching staff? Listen, I've looked at the coaching staff they have, and listen, it's a who's who. Like I can't argue with the coaching staff. A lot of these coaches I have very close relationships with. But if I'm Brandon Ireland, if I'm Todd Washington, if I'm George Warhop, you know what I mean? Like when you say something racially insensitive and you bully African American players, which is what he was allegedly accused of. I mean, enough that Iowa's investigation found him or held him accountable for those actions. But Urban Meyer has a whole different thing. It probably went something like, hey, come into my office. Hey, man, we good? Hey, man, you can't be doing anything, saying anything crazy to these players. All right, bet. I got you. Don't worry about it. It'll blow over, right? And today, because of the J.J. Watt news, maybe it does. But maybe, just maybe, we'll be able to continue to put to hearing this squeaky wheel and ask the questions that need to be asked. Like, what? First of all, if you already have a head strength coach and all that stuff, what the hell is it? Once again, we talked about the character coach. Like, it's funny how we find ways to make positions for people when we want to take care of our friends, right? The good old boys club is what I call it. So you've known this guy for 25 years. How many times have we heard, hey, man, this guy seemed like a nice guy. I never knew he was a serial killer. Live right next door. He always had fun with me. We had pizza Fridays and all that. Listen, you don't know people. You haven't been around this guy for 20 years. Just because you know his name and you guys were on a coaching staff don't mean that you know what he does and what his inner thoughts are. Obviously, enough that other players thought that they felt uncomfortable and felt bullied and felt demeaned by some of his words and some of the things that he said that was insensitive. Hell, if I'm one of these black assistant coaches, we need to have a conversation. I'm saying, hey, bro, I can't sit up here and say, because the same things you're saying about those players, secretly you saying about me or people like me. So we need to have a conversation, because I don't want to be looking at you and I don't want you to ask me something for me not to be able to answer it, because I want to punch you in the face because I know that you're a racist or you say racist things that are racially insensitive and believe it about my kind of people. That's before you even get to the players. Like, when you get to the players, then it's like, bruh, first of all, we've seen this whole Chip Kelly world, right, where people come in and they tell professional athletes. Listen, I'm going to say this again. Professional athletes, right? I spent about $100,000 on my body every year. I went out and got the best nutritionist, best performer. Right, so what if my philosophy, like, bumps heads and it doesn't coincide with your philosophies? So that's where the friction starts, right? When you have people that's never been an athlete, that's never played in the NFL, telling you what to do as an athlete, something that you've done all your life, and that's what got you to this point. They're telling you what the hell to do, right? So, like, that's what I'm talking about, and that's where the friction comes. And if the friction comes because I don't want to drink your shake, because I don't want to take your supplements, or whoever you have a partnership, and you're starting to bring in your company so you can get some kickbacks, so you're trying to say, hey, take this, and you have to take this, and I say hell to the gnaw, then what are we talking about, right? That's when the friction comes, and then that's where something comes out. And I tell you what, I've been around. I'm not going to tell you who, but I saw one of my strength coaches take a left, a right, and an uppercut biscuit dropped. He calls it a flash knockdown. I call it a 10 count. So that's what's going to happen, and that's what – if he's going to hang around, that's what Chris Droll better get ready for. If he's dealing with a grown man, it's certain things you can say to a college student because they know that you can take their scholarship. You know they have to transfer. But when you're talking to grown men, you're going to be in grown folks' business. You're going to deal with grown folk consequences. So go in there with all that smoke if you want to, Chris. You're going to come out with a black eye. You're going to have to show everybody all the muscles and protein shakes you've been taking is worth taking. You know, it has toughened your chin.
Some of the issues raised by numerous former Iowa players who spoke out on social media last year about Doyle. Black and white players were held to different standards. Black players were mistreated. Doyle and other assistants made racist remarks. Black players felt like they had to conform to specific ways of dress and behavior. And their complaints sparked the university to hire a Kansas City law firm to conduct an external investigation into the program. They were not – the issues were not strictly related to race. Former Iowa offensive lineman Jack Kallenberger said last June on Twitter that he retired from football in January 2019 after he became despondent because of what he described as bullying related to a learning disability. And Doyle was among the coaches he named who harassed him. So he was placed on administrative leave June 6th in the wake of all the allegations. He defended himself in a statement posted to Twitter that said that at no time have I ever crossed the line of unethical behavior or biased based upon race. I do not make racist comments, and I don't tolerate people who do. He was out June 14th, and I told you he made $800,000 annually. He received 15 months' salary, so that's $1.1 million. Yeah, and his family were awarded benefits from Iowa for 15 months or until he found employment elsewhere, which obviously he just did. Ryan Clark went to Twitter about this earlier this morning, and he tweeted, "Urban Meyer's hiring of Chris Doyle is an example of why I praised Bruce Arians for the diversity of his staff. It's more than okay to be accused of racism and bullying of a college student athletes because, as Urban said, he's known Chris for close to 20 years. Get mad, don't care." That's pretty much what you said. You can get away with it. You know, like you can get away with it.
So that law firm found him guilty enough for them to move on. If he's one of the best in the business, one of the highest paid, you think Iowa wanted to get rid of him?
No accountability. Yeah. Right. Well, you know what this is? This is like hiring, like you hire Jeffrey Dahmer, and you say, right, well, he just had an eating disorder. I stole that from a friend.
Yeah, he's never said anything racist or nothing. He doesn't allow it. Of course you can come out and say it. So basically you're saying the other people that you know, made allegations against you are lying. So what's the truth? You know, because the organization, then why didn't you sue the organization for wrongful termination? If you were such as your conviction, is it because you didn't want those players to be called, you know, into the courtroom to testify? You didn't want to be put under oath? Right? Is that why you didn't? If somebody called me a racist, man, we would have an issue. We would have to go to court, and I would sue them for defamation. Him, not so much. He made a deal. I'll go away quietly. Just pay me some money, and I'll look to find more employment. And he knew that he was dead in the water. He knew he was dead in the water though, in college. But good old Urban Meyer, you can always phone a friend. Well, it's the good old boys club.
That's the dangerous part. It's second chances. He's getting one, and now it's all on Urban. It's all on Urban Meyer, though, as we know. It's all on him. But if you're a player now for Jacksonville, look at the Texans, and they have an issue, obviously, there. If you're a player with Jacksonville, you got a new coach, new coaching staff coming in, and you have this hire with this background, I'm just curious how you feel about it. This is President's Day. Dell honors all of you. Dell honors all you do with up to $300 off their latest tech, like XPS and Alienware systems with Intel Core processors and top electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Call 800-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/President's Day. That's 800-BUY-DELL. And our number is 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Two major stories in the NFL. Your thoughts on them? Well, we'll deal with that next. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Han.
Big and bright, deep in the heart. Not so bright. The stars are exiting as fast as they can. Springer gone. Harden gone. J.J. Watt gone.
Can we call it all this?
Man, all this ever since. I have to go back to it as well. All of this, if you think about it, all started with cheating to win the World Series, Houston. That's really where it began. Honestly, that's where
it
began. Jim Crane brought in Jeff Luhnow, and now Cal McNair brings in Jack Easterby. How are they different, if you really think about it? How is it different? It's not working out. It's Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Our guest coming up next will be Sarah Barship, who covers the Texans for us at ESPN, and I'm sure she's going to have some great insight on what's going on and maybe also what is to come. And will Watson actually stay there, or will he end up getting out of there, which is what he wants? We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. Also brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. But Bart, just quickly here, J.J. Watt, okay, he's free. Is Pittsburgh the obvious place for him?
I mean, I think that's a likely place if you understand that Bud Dupree can't they can't bring Bud Dupree back, who, you know, towards ACL, you know, near the end of the season, but he was a pending free agent, and they couldn't afford to pay him anyway. He was already on the franchise tag. J.J. Watt at this point is coming off a $100 million contract. It's about him winning and having an opportunity to put the cherry on top. Now, this is a team that was 11-0, but it's a team that has a lot of people to retain and a lot of contracts to work out. Who knows if that's the place, but playing with your brothers and going out is a way to end your career.
Yeah, and TJ just tweeted also The Rock and his hand, come here, right? Motioning him to come with him. So we'll see if the brothers get together there, or does he go home to Green Bay, or maybe even Dallas? Who knows? Certainly keep an eye on that. But what's going to happen in Houston? Sarah Barship will give us the latest coming up next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN+.